Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Out of System. Max, Joe, how we doing?
Doing great. We're
doing
back.
Good, man.
Another fantastic
nice and
weekend.
Serene on this show as always.
I'd like to kind of start off the show with two shout outs. First shout out with my dad for outfitting me. He got mad that I didn't tell him that these are my dad's sweaters and my dad's beanie. He has no idea that I have this, so he's probably pretty pissed at that. So I'll get it when he watches this episode. And two, the fans out there. Thank you. We're over 1,000 subscribers now. I didn't see that coming. I'm going to be honest. You guys want to
like
watch
a month
this.
And a half of work doing.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I didn't know you guys wanted to hear
And to
us.
Be honest, it's really like a month of hard work because the first month, we were just Zoom calling things. Like, it was a mess. So
we were doing stuff from a bathtub.
They could lose out on a lot of those contracts and a lot of money coming.
I was filming shows from a bathtub.
Max, do you remember our first? We were talking about whatever our – I think Huddle Episode 3, we talked about Dick Pound.
Yeah. And, that's the guy's name. Yeah.
Bend over.
Legendary IOC member. Dick Pound.
Great name.
Was announced by legendary Canadian Dick Pound. Send Dick Pound out to answer this. To
Dick Pound and Benjamin Dover.
I went through all our videos the other day, and I was watching them, and I was laughing my butt off at all how idiotic we were.
Also, from our fans, you know, since we've opened up our email, we've opened up our social media, we've gotten a lot of feedback, but we've also gotten a lot of cool stories and stuff coming in from our fan base. And literally, we've had people from all of it. We just received a message yesterday from somebody from Brazil just sending their love and giving us some feedback.
Prestige worldwide.
And then we had actually a really cool email we got last week. I shared with the boys. From individual, I'm not going to give her full name, but she goes by Raylan is her Instagram name. And basically, she had emailed us to tell us that she had gone through the past year or two. She's gone past a difficult time in her volleyball career because she didn't love it. She didn't like her team. Her team wasn't being too nice to her. And then this whole quarantine started, and she got kind of hooked on our YouTube page. She's been listening in. She said ever since then, she is more excited than ever to get back on the volleyball court. So that's the kind of stuff we like to hear.
That's nice to hear.
And we love hearing that. So please email us at outofsystem808@gmail.com. You know, I also was going through some of our followers. Jackie Mattee, one of our followers, I randomly clicked on her account one day, and she has a personal account, and then she has a volleyball account. I'm like, none of us are even cool enough to be able to have a volleyball account. I was impressed by that. I'm like, she has her own volleyball account.
Respect.
That is impressive.
Mad respect. Well, fans out there, again, we are staying tuned. So any great stories, we're staying tuned to what you guys have to say. So just let us know. Let us know what's up. You know how it be, baby. Come on now. Okay. So before we go into our first segment of Chalkity Talkity, we're going to address two things now. Well, personally, me. So we released a TikTok, highly controversial. E.T. covered it. A bunch of Times Magazine, Dancer of the Year, Gage
Times. Plural, not the New York Times and not Time Magazine, Times Magazine.
Multiple Times Magazine.
There were a lot of comments about my underwear or lack of underwear.
You had underwear on.
I had underwear. Okay, well, first of all, we warned you a week ago about, hey, you got to watch out for me. All of a sudden, stuff starts flying. You got to be ready for me.
You're a little too proud of that. Can I just say that?
It's not to be proud of it. Yeah, why would I be ashamed of it? It's like, you know what? I'm out there. I'm living life. And I've since worn tighter underwear. So for the TikTok videos, I will be wearing tighter underwear for our fans out there.
Put those Star Wars briefs back on.
Our second thing that I want to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, I have found them. Yes, I have. Peanut butter lovers.
I found them.
All right, Joe found. All right, funny story. I ordered a 32 pack online. I finally found it because someone DM'd me. I'm like, hey, try out Walmart. So I go in Walmart. By the way, Reese's is definitely not sponsoring this video. Even if they would, we wouldn't be able to accept it. So I wore my shirt for some love out there. But I ordered a 32 pack online. And then they were coming. And then 30 minutes later, Joe finds these at the local Safeway. So we're going to the first ever Reese's peanut butter lovers here. Can I give you a open up this pack? We're going to try this ASMR style. Okay, guys. Right there. We're just gonna try some peanut butter lovers right here.
Listen to the sound of the pack.
Wow.
It's a nice shell right there. Oh, right there.
Chew it louder. Oh, not like. Oh my. I hate you.
Max Housman.
Bite it.
Oh my. So really
actually,
good.
Alright, for the review, it's actually not bad. It's a nice peanut butter flavor. It'll be a little too much peanut butter, but I kinda like it. Oh, that's good. I'm enjoying these and the 32 pack that's gonna come to my house next Tuesday. So guys,
he's just gonna be a big man.
And the second thing we have coming to you guys after this. This past week, the annual college recruiting rankings were released, and those are voted on by the college coaches across the country in all Division I, Division II. I'm pretty sure all, maybe it's just the committee, but I'm going to assume that it's all coaches submit a form ranking the incoming recruiting classes based on their previous year.
Dude, all right, so this is our chalk talk for the week. Chalk talk.
Chalk
talk.
Talkity.
We're going to talk about the lack of respect the University of Hawaii gets, okay? I'm not a huge volleyball rankings. I'm a big, okay, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. But, I mean, come on. I mean, Hawaii's been screwed over so many times, whether it's in the NCAA tournament or it's in the college volleyball rankings. It doesn't matter. They do a report every year, the college ranking, who has the best class coming in. This year, they put us at 9. Okay.
9, yeah. Eight last year.
Exactly. 8. I am not saying that we're the greatest class of all time. I'm not saying, hey, we should be number one. A couple times, I think we should have been number one. But what I'm saying is, put some respect on my name. Put some respect on my name. Don't play with my name.
Put some respect on my name.
Okay? Because I hear all these, like last year, let's talk about last year, right? We were 8, and I'm like, all the people above us, we had 3 freshmen, continuously starting or contributing very, very big. And I'm like, they did way better than any other freshman. Name another freshman that did that well. I'm just like, there's some good freshmen.
Playing devil's advocate, you have to be able to understand, though, the international kids, which Hawaii has a tendency to recruit a lot of, and a lot of their big recruits and a lot of their money gets dumped into the international kids. It's hard for coaches to sit there and evaluate those kids because they don't go see them every weekend in Anaheim or at all these qualification tournaments. And so if a big kid is coming in outside of the country, I mean, you have to cut some coaches some slack because for the most part, most coaches don't even know who these kids are coming in.
But the top coaches do because they're probably recruiting the same people. And in Long Beach, I know their best recruits, they have a German kid and they have a bunch of other really, really good U.S. recruits. But I'm saying, like, after a bunch of time, you should be like, okay, the guys they're bringing in are probably good. Just kind of throw us a bone or something like that. So I just kind of read that. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I see – and I'm not trying to dish on any of the incoming freshmen or the freshmen of last year. I'm just saying, like – it's just facts. It's just stats. You can see who's doing the best. And it's continuous that Hawaii is doing the best.
Yeah. Well, the voting also, University of Hawaii does a really good job with developing their players. And so you see programs that might have might get really good ratings in the recruiting classes before the kids even come in. But then there's kids who don't even develop. And so the recruiting rankings to me never have shown any value because I see teams get high rankings who are never even really relevant to be the top team in the country.
Yeah, that's true. You scout, that's the thing. I mean, Max, you know, I mean, heck, I'm not trying to dish on you or anything, but you probably weren't even ranked, weren't even looked at coming in. And then look at you now. You're on the top team, getting starting time, blocking the top middles in the nation. Max, but we're stuck in this
thing. Appreciate
it. Appreciate
it.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like it's just, it can be just a talking point for people a lot of times, this stuff. You know what I mean? It's just we're in a complete absence period of news. For collegiate volleyball, it's just one extra thing to talk about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And for sure, like the recruiting process, I think part of what I was getting into and alluding to with
the kids coming in and not developing or not having any progress in their college career and the program's not benefiting from it is because these kids step into programs that have had such a great history in the past couple of years, and they've been the top team, and they expect that they just kind of wear that same sort of level of pride and almost like ego as everybody else. And there's seniors who just graduated, or there's people who just came in to be upperclassmen, and those guys have worked so hard to change the culture, to improve their skills, and just overall get the program to where it is. And these freshmen come in and just kind of have this. I'm not saying it's every program's like this and every kid's like this. I'm just saying in general, the reason why this happens is because these kids step in and just kind of almost feel like they don't need to earn anything, and they just walk in and are already at the same level as everybody else. And so I think that's a big reason why you see kind of the drop off with some kids when they hit the college collegiate scene.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, guys. Well, NCAA, if you're listening, or the coaches, if you're listening, you heard us.
It's not the NCAA. It was ABCA.
ABCA, if you're listening, you heard us loud and proud. All right. Okay, guys, we're going to get to our guest here. Kalei Mau, the Filipino Hawaiian hammer.
And another multi-platinum recording artist. Ooh. Awarded by this show ourselves, Out of System.
Out of System artist. Multi-platinum artist, Kalei Mau. Kalei Mau, how's it? That's the first thing. Aloha. I just, they dared me to do that. They peer pressured me to do that. So I'm like, all right, fine. I'll do it. So a little backstory for Kalei Mau here. You are born in Hawaii, Filipino, went to the Filipino national team, played in the Philippines, France, and Puerto Rico. Am I right? Am I? Ding,
ding. Yes, correct. Yeah.
And attending the University of Arizona. I've kind of noticed that a lot of Hawaiians go to the University of Arizona, especially for volleyball. From your perspective, why would you say that is?
Well, I think there wasn't a ton of Hawaiians that went before me. But after, since I was able to open that door, I played with a lot of younger girls when I would go back home from college just to train with some old clubs back in Honolulu. And so, of course, I would spark out some really good athletes that, and you know, it's exposure in Hawaii is really hard to get. So of course, taking names from the island and putting it out on the mainland, I'm just happy that my coaching staff at Arizona loved me enough to give another Hawaiian a chance.
So Kalei Mau, self-proclaimed revolutionary player. I love it. I'm all about it. No, but that's true. I mean, you see the community in Hawaii and you see how close everything is. Like, they see one mm-hmm. player and they're like, okay. Like, and you guys are so tight-knit, which kind of goes into my next question here. Like, I'm sure you had rivals. You played at St. Francis in high school, was it?
Yeah, I did.
St. Francis in high school. I mean, you probably had friends, but also like rivals that you went to that ended up playing the Pac-12, or did you kind of carry over that rivalry in the Pac-12, or was it like, okay, I see another Hawaiian over there, I'm going to come at you, or was it just kind of friendly?
Actually, my high school volleyball career didn't really last very long. I was more of a soccer player back in high school, so I would only do high school soccer, and then I was doing club volleyball. So, which actually allowed me to grow stronger relationships instead of the rivalry between high schools. Hawaii is a little bit different when it comes to that. The club volleyball scene is a lot bigger. And so being on the team, being on like one correlated team with a bunch of girls from different schools is even better. So when we go over and we play each other either in the Pac-12 or the tournament, it's like, wow, that's my sister. Like that, you know, it feels good.
That's really cool.
I saw that. I was watching a video, and I saw that your dad wanted you to play soccer, but you were like, well, I'm not right. It was your dad, and you're like, either I'm doing this or I'm driving myself to to practice over here for volleyball. Like, I'll literally drive myself. How old were you when you said that?
Yeah. I was 15 when I decided.
So, wow. I mean, winners find a way is what we say. That's kind of the big phrase on the show. Mm-hmm. I respect that. So, some background information was that you played in the Philippines, right, in Filipino national team for about mm-hmm. 2 years. But recently something happened where now that kind of rolls over for you. So can you kind of go into that? Sure. What happened with that? Or
yeah. Well, actually, if it was 2 years, I would have been able to play in the Asian Sea Games. But because I've only been playing here for now a year and a half, I wasn't actually a ton of the other countries, Southeast Asian countries, actually had a protest against me for not having the residency. And then like, it was really small fine print problems that you know, like grew because I have my passport. My mom was born here. And so it's because I was new to the volleyball scene here in Southeast Asia that they were like, wait, that's not fair. Like you can't have this girl that just can't, you know, like, and then come over here and I don't know. It was just really bad. And it was another Hawaiian Filipino girl with me that had some problems also. So it's just a matter of time. And we just have to get the residency first and foremost. We have to be here and play here for 2 years, the minimum. And then we can be national team members again.
Right on. And so Gage and I were talking this morning, actually, and we know a little bit about the Filipino League, but not as much as we know about some of the European leagues. And sure. So we checked out some videos, some of your matches, and it looks like crazy there. Like I saw like being shot off the crowds. It was packed houses. What is it like playing there compared to here in the U.S. or then also over in Europe since you played in France?
Well, I mean, if you guys have ever been to Asia, it's like literally like a Latin. Here in the Philippines, there's so much passion for sports and for musicians. So it's just a craze. If you've ever gone to Japan, if you've ever gone to Korea or China, you're just going to see, like, if there's somebody performing or somebody there to play, you're going to see a bunch of people just crowding into one place because it's like, it's such a big deal here. And so, and I think, Joe, I talked to you about this before. Like, the most important thing for me is just to get the experience all over. And so when I had this opportunity to come play in the Philippines, I'm not, like, I don't claim myself as a Filipino. I'm Hawaiian. I'm native Hawaiian. I'm born and raised Hawaii, like, all the way. But I had this opportunity come reach out to me after my shoulder surgery. And I pretty much had nowhere else to go. And I thought, my life is going to be done with volleyball. I have to move on. Philippines just came up out of nowhere. And I said, okay, why not? I didn't want to go down like that anyways with a dislocated shoulder. And that's the end. So I came out here. I played my first three games. And I got... I think I fell in love with volleyball again because to see the people and how much you impact that really the people that come to watch our games have nothing. And so the way that you can produce so many smiles, so much love in once, and by just doing something you enjoy, it's addicting. So that's why I ended up staying here.
So Max and I still play at University of Hawaii, and pretty often we get a lot of Filipino fans coming from the Philippines. And this year especially, we played our last game was against BYU, and I distinctly remember this group, and I'll tell you why after the story here. But I remember that, I mean, Max, you know, they literally would came and we had autograph session afterwards, and they came through the lines like two or three times, and they were like the happiest, like go lucky kind of people. Like, and they saw us, they were just like so loving. And the Hawaiian people are also, but like they were just like super energized, and it's infectious. And then we later get interviewed by what was the news network?
SMNI Sunshine News. Are you familiar with that news company?
No,
it's they got a hold of my brother and I about our show, and like we broadcast on Filipino like national television. We're like, all right, we'll do it. We did an interview for him a couple weeks ago.
And the best part about it was is that before the interview, we like all those fans that were at the game. It was them. Mm-hmm. It was their I forget. I don't know how they were related.
It's a company.
Yeah, exactly.
Company.
They all like appeared in the screen. They're like, hey, and how you do it? And I think when we watched your games, we saw that it was just like a total just like community with the and with the fans. And I think that's mm-hmm. the biggest part. So do you kind of see yourself?
It's pretty amazing.
Do you kind of see yourself ending your career in Philippines or next year, or kind of what's the plan with that?
Oh, well, because Philippines is such a great place. It's beautiful here. But we're lacking, like, in times of these, like, right now with the COVID-19, we really have no tests, no resources, not a lot of hospital space. So people are predicting that this season might not, you know, proceed or resume until the end of this year. So I've definitely opened up some of my options. I'm not going to, you know, I don't live here. My home is in Hawaii. So I can't be comfortable. I'm out here like speaking to some agents in Japan. And I just really like, I'm praying that wherever I end up next is going to be a good spot for me.
For sure. That's awesome. You know, the other thing I think most people, there's a lot of people who kind of already followed our YouTube page who know about your singing abilities and your career that way. And that alone, like, it's crazy impressive. How do you find a balance, or do you use that kind of as a resource? Because last week, I don't know if you're familiar with the Sander brothers, Taylor and Brendan Sander. They were talking to us about how they need kind of an outside kind of hobby almost to get away from the sport. Is that how you view singing?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've kept music really close to me, and that's really what helped me stay away from home. That's like the one thing that connects me from home. Besides food, music, and my ukulele has got, like, I've taken it everywhere in the world with me. And so I think a lot of Hawaiians that miss home and end up giving in and just heading back to their families, like, they need something that can, like a theoretical umbilical cord. Like, you have to have one, something like that. And music has been that for me. And so I sing every single day. I play my ukulele, I play the guitar, and I sing like everybody, like my family is around, no matter who is around. So it's really something that I is so special to my heart, and it will never leave me.
We were talking a little bit before the show just about music and how it can have an impact on you like that, and it can be a positive influence and stuff. But we were also curious, who are your favorite like local artists, like in Hawaii? Does anyone come to mind that's an inspiration for you?
Yeah, of course. I grew up kind of like looking up to more reggae artists rather than the local artists. What really makes me happy though is that I grew up with the now local artists. So Josh Satofi, he is actually my brother-in-law, and
really?
He's a huge name Hawaiian singer.
For sure.
Also, one of my closest friends I grew up with is the lead singer of Kolohe Kai. And so, So now I get to be inspired by my own friends, like my own circle. And so it's pretty awesome that way. Like,
that is really cool.
Yeah.
So last year, Josh actually came up and performed the national anthem in Hawaii Ponaui at one of
our... Oh, that was awesome.
And then Kolohe Kai was supposed to come too. But... something happened to the Roman, they couldn't come. So we had Anuheya come perform one night. So that's, it's so cool. I think that's the thing about the Hawaiian culture. I want to get into that because for us, like, obviously we were born here in mainland. I went to the University of Hawaii, they still do. And it's such a special place to us. And I want to kind of, like, a lot of people that listen in here, they hear us talk about the volleyball program, but the culture itself, you see, like you were talking about, people leave the island. And, you know, I talked to my friends like Mike Ma'a, Kapono Fei, those guys. And the phrase you always hear him say is that you can take someone from the island, but you can't take the island from the actual individual person. So for that, like, how do you kind of take the aloha spirit almost around the world when you go to all these really cool places when you travel for volleyball?
Well, the aloha spirit is not like an instrument I can just put in my backpack. It's actually instilled in my heart. And so just the way that I'm talking to you guys right now, I'm giving you my aloha. In the morning when I wake up, I thank God, and I'm just like, I'm full of this positivity that we call aloha. So I'm just like, I never take anything for granted. I'm so thankful for the health of my family and myself and just the people around me. So that's also something that's infectious from what we have and what's now what grew in you guys. Now that you guys are adapted into our culture, Joe, the Hawaiians love you. And you're basically Hawaiian. So and you have that aloha. And before you even moved, I met you from through the ma'as.
Yeah.
Before that, I was like, wow, this Holly boy get aloha too. Like he's cool. And that's why you're so loved in our island. So
for sure. And people don't understand like the aloha kind of spirit in itself and the whole mentality that is in every aspect of the culture, like even driving. That was the one thing I had to get adapted to going from California to Hawaii. Cause you drive and literally I see people pull up to they don't have a stop sign. The intersection, the other street guys, and they'll stop at a knot and they'll let like a whole line of cars. That to me, I'm like literally like in every aspect of their life, they kind of bring that aloha spirit. Yeah. But
I feel myself, the biggest thing when I feel myself coming back from Hawaii, like from the chill vibes back here, is just like the biggest phrase I catch myself saying, just everyone just chill, like chill out. Everyone's like, especially in California, everyone's just like so tense sometimes, especially in this time.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, come on, mom, just chill out. Like, what? You tell me to chill? Like,
yeah.
I just think it's so funny. It's just like
that's so funny. You guys get to experience that, and then I went to the mainland and experienced the other thing. And I'm driving. I'm like, bro. What's
at Arizona, what was the? Did you have any other Hawaiians on the team with you?
I had someone Fijian girl that she had family in La'ie, which is near the BYU campus in Honolulu, on Oahu. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had each other, and then my last year going out, Sarah Watanabe from Iolani High School, she came out, she walked on to our team.
That's really cool.
I have a question. I was wondering, were you ever considering going to Hawaii? Because Hawaiian culture is so instilled in you and so big, and anyone that's there. I mean, from someone who kind of left the island to go to the mainland to go play, what goes
on? Or did you have the option to, too?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have the option to go to Hawaii?
You know what? I'm very, this always has been like a question that always pops up. Kale, why didn't you stay and play for Hawaii? For my, personally, I have always, always wanted to live in the mainland just because I'm from one of the smallest towns on Oahu. My hometown is called Kahalu'u. It's right in between Kaneohe and then on your way out to the North Shore. So I've always like, I'm just super like, I can't stay still. I want my dad always, dad, we went home this way last time. Can we go around? Like, I would always want to see a different scene, I want it to be in a different setting. I would move my room around all the time because I'm like so tired of the same old. And so when it was time for me to get recruited, my grandpa got sick and I totally thought about only playing for Hawaii because it's such a dream. Like any Hawaii kid's dream is to represent Hawaii. And yeah, I don't need to go to the mainland. Like I'll get that right here. But when I got recruited to go, I had my top teams were never Hawaii because all of the schools that were offering me seemed a lot more compelling. And I used to play club for the UH club called Imi'ike. And at the time, Coach Scott Wong and Coach Carey and Coach Dave would always sit me down in the office and say, Kale, like, we have a spot for you, but like, you're going to have to tell us what number it is on your hand so that we can, you know, narrow things down. And I was just not ready for that. Like, I could not imagine myself staying here in Hawaii. And then, you know, I love my family more than anything, but they would love it if I was the first of my generation, of my family to go into the to the mainland, experience that and stuff. So it wasn't hard for me at the time. The decision was like, okay,
right on.
I want to go somewhere cold. So I don't know, Joe, if you guys know that I went to the University of Minnesota first.
So you went straight to University of Minnesota from here?
Yeah.
Who was the class you went into there with?
Hannah Tapp, Paige Tapp, wow. Sarah Wilhite. Those are my
classes. That's a big class. That was a big class.
Yeah. What?
Jeez, all four of you. Wow.
How come you transferred?
Oh, man. I never.
Too cold?
No. I love, if there was a city in the mainland that I could ever see myself living, it'd be Minnesota. Yeah, I love it so much there. But I never, and I don't know who is watching, is going to be watching this podcast, but man.
So many people. At least a million.
I learned about politics when I went there. Yeah. Oh, that was crazy. I barely even played volleyball. Like, it was more than just, you know, going to a top program like that and then expecting hard work to just get you to, like, on the court or something. No way.
Oh, for sure. Politics play a huge role.
We've talked about that a couple times. Sure. Like, having to deal with certain situations. Yeah, I can absolutely understand that. And especially with a program like Minnesota, like in the athletic department there. But
it happens everywhere.
Yeah, it happens everywhere. But
kind of like you made the best of it, though. Yeah.
But tying it back to Hawaii here a little bit, we get a lot of people saying, like, they want to come to Hawaii. They DM us all the time, like, we're huge fans. We want to come see a game in Hawaii just because it's the atmosphere there is so cool right now. For you, kind of back to the culture, what is your kind of favorite food when you're back home in Hawaii? Where do you like going to eat usually? Just so the listeners who come and visit Hawaii, they know where to go.
Well, for me, I'm a foodie. Like, I come from my dad, my grandfather, my grandma were farmers. And so I go straight home and my family cooks crazy. So, of course, that's my first stop. But my second one would probably be Ono Seafood on Kapahulu. Oh, I'm sure you guys know about that.
Classic.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite poke. And then the next would be Maruju Market, right on, right across from Pearl Ridge. They have the best squid luau and kalua pig.
I think the food in Hawaii, for those who travel and don't know much about it, is like the most underrated thing. Because the food there is just amazing. Like, I go everywhere. I'm just like such a huge fan. That's the biggest thing. Like, when you leave, you miss. There's like the food is so awesome.
It's chicken katsu just regularly available. It's wherever you want to go. Just poke at the grocery store, like in Chicago.
Yes. I wish.
Yeah.
Hawaii's got to be like the only place, in the nation where Arizona, I'm sure, packed full of school. You guys had your fuel stations where you got smoothies or whatnot or snacks in the day. Mm-hmm. For us, Hawaii, our snack station consists of tropical fruit and Pog.
That's our load-up station. That's our load-up. Get some Pog for practice.
Like, if we didn't have water anywhere, I'd be like chugging Pog. It was in passion. After our workouts. It's passion, passion orange. Orange juice and
like guava,
right? Yeah, like
I'll do this. Yeah,
this is a classic.
That's classic.
So we get enough of those. And after a fun fact, after our workout, there's right outside, right in between our practice facility and right in between our weight room, there is coconut trees. Mm-hmm. So after you can see the Hawaii men's volleyball team shaking or taking the tree, like making holes and just like taking them. And we used to store coconuts in our locker room, and we just like bathe ourselves in like tree.
Imagine that. That's something like no other team in this whole country can ever say that they do that.
Oh, absolutely not.
Break coconuts in the shower.
That's amazing. I love it.
So to kind of end with it, we want to end with something spectacular, something a learning experience for the viewers. So as a local from Hawaii, you are familiar with pigeon. Okay, can you give us kind of a brief description? Because I try and describe it. You could probably give a better description of what pigeon actually is.
For our non-local viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, pigeon is actually just another phrase for broken English. And it's something that the immigrants, we had a bunch of people from different countries around surrounding the Pacific Ring come to Hawaii and work on the plantations, the sugar mill, the pineapple fields. And so a lot of the people that came, China, we had Mexico, we had Japan and Koreans, Portuguese, everyone came to Hawaii and they had to work together. But since they didn't have the education to communicate, nobody was taught anything, this language, pidgin, started to form amongst those workers in the plantation fields. And that's what became pidgin. So mostly you're going to hear bits and pieces of Hawaiian words, which is called Olelo o Hawaii, the language of Hawaii. And then you're going to hear a little bit of Japanese and Chinese, Portuguese. So it sounds like the most uneducated language that you can hear, but the story behind it is so fascinating.
Yeah, I think, and Hawaii, I believe it's a class at Hawaii, like, right, Max? It's a language.
Yeah, there actually are. Yeah, the UH linguistics department actually offers a degree, and I think it says Hawaiian Creole English, but that's the pigeon that we're talking about right now. Pretty cool.
So we're gonna have Max over here. We wrote down 5 or 6 pigeon slang words for the viewers, phrases for you, and we want you to give us the definition and use it in a sentence or like a situation. So Max is gonna read them to you, and you do the following here. All right, Max, all yours, buddy.
We got 5 here, and you can educate the viewers on each one. Okay. First one we have is chicken skin. You actually used it earlier in the broadcast that we have.
Yeah. Okay. Chicken skin is goosebumps. Translates to goosebumps.
Exactly.
And in a sentence, oh, bro, her voice so good, I get chicken skin.
That's the kind of sentence we're looking for. Next one, Bombay. Used in a sentence.
Bombay translates to maybe later. So, hey, Holly boy, Bombay, I show you.
love it. 2 for 2 on this. Okay. Next one is choke.
Okay, choke means a lot. And in a sentence, the first time I went to a UH men's volleyball game, I had choke people down.
Yes, sir. next one we got is all boss.
All boss translates to drunk or intoxicated. Yep. Or you got bust up, like you got beat up or you hurt yourself somehow. But in a sentence, I never use this, but in a sentence, hold on a day, my freaking friend came to my house all bust asking if you like take one shower.
Exactly. Okay, and our final one is mops.
Mops. Okay, mops is like good food. And so in good food or just like a bunch of food. And so, hey boys, come my auntie's house. We always get the mops.
Love it. Thank you so much.
That was awesome. That was the best. We do these sort of games like every single show with guests. And sometimes they give answers that are kind of like, but that was by far our favorite one we've done yet.
Yay.
Thank you, Kelly.
And you know, again, before we kind of sign off here, we didn't go through it a whole lot, but your musical career, like, are you planning on starting like serious career when you're done with volleyball, kind of fully committing your time to your musical career?
I definitely think I'm gonna try and squeeze through that window. You know, volleyball is definitely my vehicle that's taking me around and letting me experience so many cultures and countries. But I feel music has always been my passion. So I would not be able to sleep at night if I completely X that out of my list of things to do in this life. So yeah, Joe, I'll let you know.
For sure. And before I let Gage sign us off here, I gotta tell you, my favorite video, we search your name in a YouTube bar. My favorite video is by far you and Roman just sitting at Sandy just jamming. I'm like,
together, baby, there ain't nothing we won't do.
This is the sickest video ever. It was like 10 years ago. Some of those videos on your YouTube channel are long ago. But anyone listening, go check out Lay Mao, Spotify, Happy Sad, her most popular song on there, yeah?
And YouTube and Instagram.
You need to do a collab with Ma'a, with Micah Ma'a, or even like Jenna Gabriel. I think, I don't know if you know who she is.
I know Jenna. She goes to Texas, huh?
But you and Ma'a, that'd be a dope. One day, maybe.
I would love
one day.
That guy is so talented.
Kalei, you have been an amazing guest. I've learned, and hopefully everyone watching, all, like I said, millions and millions of watching, have learned a lot of pigeon, a lot about the Hawaiian culture, and hopefully a lot about yourself. And hopefully the family's safe. Hopefully you're safe. And we wish you nothing but the best. So, Kalei, thank you so much for joining us on Out of System.
Mahalo.
Thank you. Mahalos.
Mahalo.
Mahalo nui, guys.
Now wow, that was really good. Yeah, I love that. What were you saying, Gage? Sorry.
Max, that was actually kind of legendary. But that is what you call a local right now. That is a local.
Dude, and what I wanted when I asked Calais to come on this week, what I wanted to happen was for you guys, all the listeners, because we have a good amount listening from Hawaii, but we also have so many from different parts of the world and different parts of the U.S. I wanted them to kind of learn like about the Hawaiian culture, because we talk about the program at UH, but to me, like, the entire experience of my 4 years there playing, and when I was younger, I lived there for 2 years. That entire experience there on the island was so cool, and that place is so special to me, as I know it is to you guys. And I want you guys to kind of see a little bit. Just I hope you guys learned a little bit from her, because she's someone who, she's so talented in so many different ways, and she knows a lot about her culture. You know, her family's from Hawaii, and that was so cool to me. That was like, for sure, yeah, one of my favorite shows we've shot yet. That was so sweet.
And I feel like just listening to the way that she articulated herself, I think that she's a really good example of how a lot of people from Hawaii, like, they just act as a representative of the state, you know what I mean? Wherever they go, and they just, I don't know. It's just clearly something that they take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, for sure. And you'd be like, okay, maybe we just picked a good guest, and she was a phenomenal guest, don't get me wrong. But if you ask most Hawaiian people about their heritage and culture, they'll know it. Yeah. Like, they'll all know it. Like, if you, like, I bet if you go and ask them, like, mainlanders about the history of America, including myself, we might actually do that next. If you guys want to do that, have us a quiz about America. We wouldn't know. Max would know, but myself and most of America probably wouldn't know jack squat about, I mean, anything really.
How many stars is on the American flag?
Shit, we got 13 colonies, so 13 minus 50. 13 minus 50, goddamn, 47.
I mean, but and it speaks to the level of just like the raising, the heritage of that place. Just, I mean, you see it on TV, but it's being there is a whole other thing.
The aloha, so maybe he'll make it, oh, aloha, shaka, shaka. But that stuff, like, it's super part of it. It's so cool, though. Like, once you live in the culture and you get to experience that all, it's the coolest thing ever. And for anybody who hasn't gotten a chance to get over to somewhere on the islands and experience, and not just experience kind of the touristy parts, but really get to experience the culture and the traditional foods and see the, not just, you know, like Waikiki and stuff like get around and see the what makes Hawaii so special. I think that I really recommend that you get over there. And I'm still fired up from this show.
Can I say one more thing? Just unrelated. This is just out of nowhere. Not related, really. Sort of related to what we're talking about.
That's how we roll, baby.
You guys were talking about, like, knowing U.S. history and stuff that happened in the U.S. Okay, well, I've been on a Western movie binge lately with cowboys and stuff. Just watched The Revenant, and I want to throw a huge shout-out to The Revenant on this.
It's a good movie. I've seen
DiCaprio's
it.
DiCaprio's first Oscar. If you watch it, Oscar. Let me know what you think. Dude, oh, yeah, true. Unbelievable.
Go pirate it. Find it. Find it any way you can. I don't think it's on any streaming service. Buy it. Anything you can get. It's phenomenal.
Let us know.
Exactly. Guys, actually, I don't do this enough. Joe, thanks for being on the show, man.
Oh, that's nice.
Max, come here, man.
Come here.
And also to all our Ohana that's been listening, all you guys a part of us now, a part of this show, and have been tuning in, thank you guys enough. Please send you, like we said from earlier on, we have people sending in stuff to us, stories, and just kind of telling us about the show, their feedback. Please, out of system. 808@gmail.com or any of our IGs, send it over. We'd love to talk about it on the show. I'm still so fired up for this show.
So I feel like I could run through a wall.
Guys, this has been another episode of
Out of System Show.